First, when you pay for a meal at a sit-down restaurant, we all know that a tip is generally recommended on top of the cost of the food. A lot of people will add like 20% plus or minus. What do you do when you pick up a to-go order at that same restaurant? At the register, they might have one of those touchscreens that asks you to choose a tip percentage and whether or not you want a receipt. Are you supposed to leave a tip if you're just picking up food and leaving? How about when you're grabbing a coffee or an ice cream cone or an Uber ride? The world of tipping has changed, and in the moment, it's easy to be confused about what to do. Call in now. We want to hear what you think or what you wonder about at 800-642-1234. How do you decide how much you're going to tip? How do you make the decision of whether to tip in any given circumstance? Have you encountered these touchscreen things that say, hey, here's a few different percentages you could choose. Do you like those or not? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Andrew Morio is an associate professor of hospitality management and director of research at Florida International University's Chaplin School of Hospitality and Tourism Management. He previously taught at the Culinary Institute of America and worked for over 20 years in the food service industry. Andrew, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, now, I'm one of those people, I get confused in some situations, but you, with your background in academia and the restaurant industry, you're never confused, right, in those tipping moments?
I wish that was the case. COVID and these electronic devices have certainly changed the pressure to tip.
Let's talk about, the old days of tipping. We kind of all had a general idea that we were supposed to tip at a restaurant. How much did that factor into, how much money somebody makes working in a restaurant? How big a part of their salary was that?
Right. Well, so back in the day, as well as now, it actually very much depends on state to state. In some states, there is the tipped minimum wage, which is often around $2 an hour. So say, for instance, when I was a server in Delaware during my master's degree, I was making $2 an hour was the wage. And so pretty much that just went to pay my taxes. Most of my paychecks were nothing. And everything that I relied on was my tips. So this becomes a huge factor for a lot of service employees in the food and beverage industry.
Now, let's talk about some of these modern concerns. First of all, you mentioned the COVID era. People, I among them, started getting takeout from restaurants more than going to the restaurant itself. Obviously, that wasn't even an option at some point. How does that change the etiquette when we're doing takeout as opposed to sit down?
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of precedent for takeout. I've actually also worked as a pizza delivery driver, and there was a tradition in that field as well as to tip your drivers. So I think there was definitely some precedent for delivery. And then for takeout, for me personally, and I think for a lot of people, we recognize that during COVID, these employees were struggling and they were considered mandatory or essential workers. And so I think many of us tipped them even on takeouts and maybe tipped more than we would have during the pandemic because we knew that they were struggling and they were having some extra trouble. As we move out of the pandemic and into back to our new normal, I think a lot of those practices have shifted away from so much tipping on the takeout and back to more the dine-in time when you tip.
And I also mentioned this fairly new phenomenon. You pay with a credit card at the counter. It asks you in many places for your tip percentage, no tip, 8, 12, whatever it is. And of course, the employee who is or is not being tipped is standing right there. How does that change the way we handle our gratuities?
Yeah. I've known a couple companies that produce those devices, and part of their marketing is to tell employers that they will increase the amounts of tips that their employees receive. And so there may be, but again, I haven't seen any academic research on that. Mm-hmm. So I say that with that caveat, but I think having the person in front of you that you're supposed to be tipping and it already on the device in front of you, so you have to actively say, no, I don't want to, I think does add some added pressure to the consumer to do some sort of tip, to provide something.
One thing I've seen at a few places in recent years, including the nearest coffee shop to where I'm standing right now, is they put up signs saying, hey, we don't want tips anymore. We're going to bump up the prices a little bit. we're bumping up our wages a little bit, and then we're taking tips off the table. Is this rare, or are you seeing this as a trend?
You know, this is not a new concept. I don't know if you're familiar with Danny Meyer out of New York City.
Is he the Shake Shack guy?
Yeah, he is the Shake Shack guy. But before that, that was his casual and QSR establishment. But he has many fine dining establishments like Union Square Cafe. And he tried to do this model in his restaurants where they increased prices and took away tips and told their customers they didn't have to tip. And even with someone as progressive as him, in the end, it didn't really work out so well. And I believe they did have to reverse their policies. So while this isn't a new concept, at restaurants, it doesn't seem to be taking hold. I think at a coffee shop, it could, because the price increase you're going to see isn't nearly as much as you would in a restaurant. At a coffee shop, you know, those employees, I think by and large, are not considered tipped employees. So they're at least making the full minimum wage and not the tipped minimum wage. And yes, I'm sure they do rely on some of those tips for their income. But in the end, they are making a bit of a better wage than what we would consider a tipped employee. I would applaud those establishments that are doing that. This is just my own personal bent. But, you know, the tipping culture can cause some problems between consumers and service providers.
We are talking about tipping and gratuities in the modern era with Andrew Morio, Associate Professor of Hospitality Management at Florida International University. He's got background in the restaurant industry as well. Let's go to your calls at 800-642-1234. Nick is with us in Green Bay. Nick, hello.
Hi, I've got no problem tipping at all, but what really irritates me or offends me, I don't know how you'd say it, is these people that get on TikTok and entitlement, they're like, well, we don't get tipped enough. I mean, I even make my kids tip the dishwasher. That way they know that there's no job that's not worth anything. You know, every job is worth something. As long as you're getting paid, then you should get tipped. But
Nick, thanks a lot for the call. And David on Facebook, on the Ideas Network Facebook, seconds that. He says a tip is for going above and beyond the basic requirements for the job. They are not, David says, an entitlement. Andrew, there is this argument sometimes like, oh, no, a tip is supposed to be for something above and beyond. You're not necessarily entitled just for doing your basic job.
Right. And that comes down to the fundamental difference in opinion of what service providers are supposed to be providing. And my only issue with your Facebook commenter is in these places where they're only getting $2 an hour, then the assumption is that tip is part of their wage. It's really not extra for going above and beyond. It is what's expected, unfortunately, because they do rely on those tips for survival. So this is why I said I applaud the establishments that are trying to incorporate the tip into the actual price of the meal. This way, the service provider, the waiter, the server, is not relying on the expectation and, I guess, generosity of the consumer.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Nancy now in Milwaukee. Nancy, hi.
Hello. I have a great deal of hostility about being expected to tip in any restaurant. I feel very much that this is a form of corporate welfare. Why should I be expected to pay part of their salary? This is the responsibility of the owner of the restaurant. If he has to mark up his food a great deal more, well, then he's going to get a different altogether class of customers, people who really can afford it and don't mind doing it. But I have great hostility about this. I'm tired of reading articles in the paper that restaurant owners have such a small percentage of gain from their endeavors. That's because food is so expensive and electricity is ever so much more expensive, et cetera, et cetera. I can feel my blood pressure going
up. Nancy, thanks a lot for that call. Andrew, your thoughts on Nancy's thoughts on the economics at work here.
Right. And you know what, Nancy, I really appreciate your comments because it strikes to the heart of the matter. I think most people don't understand that in most restaurants, on average, across the country, when you go and spend $1 in a restaurant, it is only 5 to 10 cents of that dollar that goes to the bottom line. everything else is eaten up by cost. So restaurateurs are very reticent to increase the wages they pay their employees, because all they're seeing is that their little slim margins that they're taking home already are evaporating. This becomes especially true when you have supply chain issues and the cost of, like Nancy mentioned, the cost of electricity. I mean, let's not even talk about the cost of goods right now. Your cost of food is just astronomical and outrageous. So this goes to the idea that maybe we need to, the restaurateurs need to come up with a new business model, because I do agree with Nancy that it's kind of a form of corporate welfare, but you know, we can look at this as the same thing in these large corporations that pay minimum wage and then expect their employees to go on government aid. It's something sort of similar. So the restaurateurs are stuck between a rock and a hard place. They want to keep their doors open, but they also need to make a profit. And so the balance is trying to figure out how to make that happen, especially when you have very cost-conscious consumers, and that's the market you're going for.
Thanks a lot for calling in, Nancy. We're talking to Andrew Morio, professor of hospitality management at Florida International University. We're looking at the new world of gratuities, when, where, how, and why we tip. Join in at 800-642-1234. Do you work someplace where you receive tips, or have you? What are your thoughts on this? If you own a restaurant or other commonly tipped kind of business, love to hear your perspective. And as a tipper, are there situations where you're baffled as to what you're supposed to do? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also join the conversation on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. We pick up our conversation now with Andrew Morio, Associate Professor of Hospitality Management at Florida International University, longtime restaurant industry worker. He's with us today to help us sort through the modern cultural etiquette for tipping and gratuities. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Mary is with us in Milwaukee. Mary, hello.
Hi there. First of all, I'm going to toss in that I strongly agree with your speaker's last two points, his responses to both of the last two callers. I really hope that not very many people take their frustration out about the situation that we're stuck with, the structure that we have for tip-based work. Don't take that out on the worker. You know, you just don't want to make a social statement at someone's expense who is already not necessarily the most financially empowered person. I just feel like if you can afford to go eat at a restaurant, you can afford to tip the server until our system changes. The comment I was going to make, though, is that the hair salon I go to has switched to no tips. The people who do the hairdressing are paid an hourly wage that's a good wage, and it relates to their experience and their specialties. And I am super happy to move to that system. I would rather know that for the hour that the hairdresser is going to work with me, she is receiving something that is an appropriate compensation for her skill.
And Mary, did the initial price tag go up when they made that switch? Like, you know, X service costs a little bit more than it used to?
Not really, because I tip like a grown-up.
Mary, thanks a lot for the call. Andrew, what do you think of that hair salon example?
I think it's a great example. You know, I think people are very afraid that if we roll tips into the price of the meal, that they're going to receive less than stellar service. And of course, this is a possibility. But I think what you're going to find is that as employees feel more secure, more financially secure, more taken care of by their employer, that care that they feel will translate into the care they provide to their customer. And so, yes, while you're going to have bad actors, you're going to have bad eggs here and there, those will naturally weed themselves out by being let go over time. And so, you know, I think that in the end, if we could figure out a way to do away with the tipping culture, I think there's a lot of advantages to it. But I think it's a very long, hard road to even really think about that in this country.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Larry now in Janesville. Larry, hello.
Hi. I was wondering if you could talk about the law that was passed in the 1970s for waiters and waitresses to only get $2.35 an hour.
Larry, thanks a lot. Can you talk a little bit, Andrew, about, you were talking earlier about that two-tiered system, tipped wages, minimum wage versus everybody else. Can you talk about the origins of that distinction?
You know, actually, that's beyond what I know. I don't know the origins. What I do know is that the way it works is that you have to, your tipped wages have to bring you up to the federal minimum wage. And if you do that, then everything is copacetic and you can keep that tipped minimum wage. Again, my problem with the whole thing is then you have people who have to manage all this cash. They end up having to pay taxes out of their tips, and maybe they don't know that they're supposed to do that or don't know how to do that properly. It's just it's a very flawed system that allows for people to fall through the cracks and for people to end up making far less than they need to in order to survive and to provide for their families.
Thanks for that call, Larry. Mary Lou is with us in Milwaukee. Mary Lou, hi.
Hi, nice. Thanks for taking my call. Just returned from Rochester, Minnesota, stayed in a hotel that had a nice little coffee shop, called down and ordered to pick up the food myself, went down to pick it up, came to the cash register to pay, and the person who packed up the food handed me a bag and said, "You know you can tip." And my response was, "Here's a tip. Don't ever ask for a tip." And I left. So that's just my take, that they think it's their job to now tell me to tip.
Mary Lou, thanks for the call. Awkward interaction for Mary Lou there. Andrew, what do you think?
You know, it is unfortunate that there are people that will go to those lengths to get a tip. I would agree with what I think her name was Mary Lou. I would agree with her that if you have to ask for a tip, you're probably not going to get one and you may have just lost a customer. So in the service industry, it is all about providing the highest level of service that you can and hoping that you've done the job that the consumer expects so that they are interested in leaving you a tip. Now, especially in that circumstance, it's one thing to provide the option in a electronic tablet or something like that, where we talked about earlier, or even a tip jar. So everyone sees it. They know it's there. If they want to, they will. And if they don't want to, they won't. In my opinion, if I was the manager, I would be very upset with my employee that they had made that comment.
Thanks for the call. Talking to Andrew Morio from Florida International University about the new world of gratuities and tipping. Back to your calls now. Randy is with us in La Crosse. Randy, hi.
Hi. Yeah, thanks. I tip when I go to restaurants, but I always tip cash. If I'm going to a restaurant, I make sure I have some cash. Because some restaurants, and usually it's bigger ones, all of that tip doesn't always go to the wait staff. And I know about this from people that I've worked with who've told me that happens. And the fact that wait or service industry in general gets the short shrift of everything. And the owners of the businesses take most of the profit, which is how it works all across our country. And I think it's despicable.
Randy, I gotcha. Thanks for the call. To Randy's first point, Andrew, and some of our commenters on Facebook have said this too. They might pay with a credit card. They'll tip in cash because of that worry about tip skimming by the restaurant.
Right. So let me tell you this. It's highly illegal. Tips are to go to tipped employees, to hourly employees. Management is not supposed to take any cut of that period. Now, what is practice and is acceptable and is legal is tip pooling, where all the servers pool their tips and then divide it out at the end of the day. And what is also common practice is that as a server, you are to tip out other employees. So as a server, you have a, usually there's bussers, right? So they're responsible for water and clearing the table, but they don't get tips directly. You're supposed to tip them out a percentage. If you have a bar and a bartender, you're supposed to tip out your bartender. And then even some very progressive restaurants are now having servers tip out the kitchen staff, because I can speak from experience. A lot of times, yes, the kitchen staff will make more hourly wage than the wait staff. But in the end of the day, the wait staff will take home more overall pay because of the amount of tip they're getting, especially in a higher end restaurant. So that's part one. Part two, whether you do it in cash or credit card, when you do it on credit card, all of that tip is going to get, is recorded. Now the employees are supposed to report out all of the tips they get, whether they're cash or credit card. But if you leave it in cash, then they might not necessarily do all report all of it. And there are formulas for the minimum amount they have to report out to. So if I have cash, I leave cash and leave it up to the employees to figure out what they want to do with it. If you do put it on a card, yes, there is some chance the restaurant is going to skim. But if you have a suspicion the restaurant's skimming, you know, you might think about not dining there and take your dollars somewhere else.
Thanks for that call. And Andrew, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Happy to be here.
That's Andrew Morio, Associate Professor of Hospitality Management, Director of Research at Florida International University's Chaplin School of Hospitality and Tourism Management. He's with us today for a look at gratuities and how tipping etiquette has changed over time. If you're wondering, I don't take tips. I think I legally can't take tips. Ethically, I certainly can't.